A big deal in Big Pharma finally gets the go-ahead.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning. From American Public Media in New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. The French pharmaceutical company Sanofi Aventis is buying the U.S. biotech firm Genzyme for more than $20 billion. This is a deal that's been in the making for a long time. Let's find out why it finally happened and why we should care. For Marketplace's Eve Troeh, who's with us live. Good morning, Eve.
Good morning.
So we've been hearing about these two companies potentially tying the knot for quite some time. What's going on?
Well, the rumors have been flying since July of last year that Sanofi had a corporate crush on the biotech drug maker Genzyme. And Genzyme seemed ripe for a takeover since around 2009. There was an outbreak of a virus at a factory where it makes its drugs in Massachusetts. That sent the stock price tumbling. Sanofi Aventis has been courting biotech for a while in general, and specifically with Genzyme. And now they've gotten in $20 billion worth. The chief executive of Sanofi calls this the second biggest biotech deal in history.
All right. And for people who don't spend all their time talking about Sanofi Aventis and Genzyme, tell us who these two companies are.
Well, Sanofi Aventis is the biggest French drug company, and it's maybe best known for the blood thinner Plavix. Genzyme is more of a startup. It's known for making drugs that treat rare diseases, and it's based in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Its CEO is the one who really took Genzyme from a little startup to a big player. It's not clear whether he'll stick around. Genzyme actually has a few products in the pipeline right now. There's an experimental drug for multiple sclerosis that Sanofi really likes. And that's part of the appeal, is these new drugs that the little startup could bring to the big corporate parent. Sanofi Aventis has some hot sellers in recent years, but they've been so hot that generic versions have come out, and that's eaten into their profits. So basically, they need some fresh blood to keep sales up.
All right, Marketplace's Eve Troeh, thanks so much.
Thank you.
A new report out from the World Bank says global food prices have hit dangerous levels. They've jumped 29% in the past year, and the World Bank says the increasing cost of food has sent 44 million people into poverty. The situation is especially bad in developing countries. But what about the impact of rising food prices here in the U.S.? Here's Marketplace's Jeff Tyler.
In developing countries, people often spend more than half their income on food. So when prices rise even a little, it can have a big impact. The situation is different here in the U.S. Dan Bossi is president of Ag Resource Company, an economic consulting firm. He says Americans only spend about 10% of their disposable income on food.
So if it goes up 1 or 2 percentage points on disposable income, maybe we have to cut back in a few areas, but it really doesn't change our style of life.
He expects food prices in the U.S. will rise 3 to 4% this year. That's partly due to global demand from India and China. Also, ethanol deserves some of the blame. It consumes almost half of America's corn. But Bossi says ethanol also accounts for about 10% of our fuel supply.
Ultimately, eliminating ethanol would cause gasoline prices to rise. We estimate about 70 cents a gallon.
He says a spike at the gas pump would be harder on American consumers than the moderate increases expected at the grocery store. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up right now across Europe and Asia. Personal computer maker Dell says its profit more than doubled last quarter. Analysts say that's because businesses are finally spending money to upgrade outdated hardware. And the cost of memory chips and LCD screens is falling. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 41 points to close at 12,226.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact Event Marketing, working to help small businesses and nonprofits make their events easier with event registration and marketing tools. ConstantContact.com. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in natural gas, nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies.
Credit card fraud jumped 62% last year. That's according to data out this week from the electronic payments software company ACI Worldwide. The company says 29% of us, including yours truly, have been the victim of credit card fraud in the past 5 years. Let's bring in LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus for more on this. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
So this is becoming a real problem.
It's been a big problem for quite some time. The growing use of plastic simply means that there's growing potential for getting ripped off when you use it. You really got to be smart when you use a credit card.
But why is this happening right now?
Well, there's a number of reasons. On the one hand, you could say that we don't have sufficient security measures in place here in the United States. For example, in Europe, most of the plastic has chips embedded in it. They're smart. Right. They've got encryption. And they basically are able to defend themselves better. We're not quite there yet here in the U.S. Another thing, too, is just simply the growing use of mobile devices and Wi-Fi. A lot of people are accessing the internet on the go or using unsecure connections, like at Starbucks or something else. And the simple fact is, if you go e-shopping using a Wi-Fi connection, I'm not going to say you're going to get ripped off every time, but the chances of someone seeing what you're doing and walking away with your number are exponentially higher.
Somebody could be watching that number that you're typing into the screen. David, what can people do to make sure that they're not the victims of credit card fraud?
Well, the first thing is just be smart about it. For example, don't give out your number to anybody who you don't trust. Second of all, be mindful of the whole Wi-Fi phenomenon. If you're having a latte at Starbucks, probably not the best time to go to Amazon.com and go browsing for things. Always use a secure connection when you need it. And finally, there's something called virtual credit cards out there, which hardly anybody seems to know about. But what these are services offered by banks in which they create a separate number based on the full backing of your normal piece of plastic that has all sorts of encryption and other security attached to it. And then when you go e-shopping, you're not using your normal number. You're using this temporary number. And in some cases, after you do your shopping expedition on the internet, poof, the new number goes away.
All right. LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus, thanks so much.
Poof, I'm gone.
And finally, one South Korean bank is trying to help customers boost their cash holdings by helping them shed a few pounds. Hana Bank sets the interest rate on your savings account based on the amount of weight you lose. So the more calories you burn, the higher your interest rate. The bank will offer no help, however, on getting past the donuts in the lobby. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
When you picture Russia, pharmaceuticals probably aren't the first thing that comes to mind. So why are so many big drug companies building factories in Russian cities?
If you construct your factory in Russia, you will have better conditions for your business activity in this country.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Big Pharma comes to Mother Russia next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.